What in the world is that all about? We've been dealing with contemporary issues, and this is a rather touchy one. But we're going to talk about feminism's misplaced purpose and values. We're hit with elements of feminism and the movement just about every day. And the question is, where are we supposed to be as Christians in this matter? Whose side should we be on? Well, we're going to look at the Bible. We're going to see some things and note some things about this particular subject tonight. Lord, I pray for your blessing once again. And Lord, these are issues we deal with every day. These are things that confront us constantly in our culture and our society today. And Lord, we need to get a biblical perspective. Once again, on this subject tonight, the subject of feminism. Help us to see truth. Help us to see principles and precepts from your word. And Lord, have that grounding, that position we need from the Bible on the matter. I pray you'd help me tonight to present this in a way you'd be pleased and glorified. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Feminism's misplaced purpose and values. You know, in preparation for this, I thought about how many of us can remember a time there was no real feminist movement in America. How many of you believe you can remember a time like that? There was no real feminist movement in America. I'm talking about a time when men and women accepted their traditional roles in society. Here's a time when men were the primary wage earners and women were content to be homemakers and mothers. I couldn't help but think about the television show Leave It to Beaver. So typical of that era, Ward would come home from work and his wife would be all dressed up and the house would be clean and dinner would be cooking and she would take care of the kids and he'd get the newspaper and so now, you know. Some people think, oh, that was a make-believe world. No, in a lot of ways that was reality for a lot of people. But much has changed in our society, much has changed in our culture since then. And today we are experiencing the effects of the feminist movement. Now let me say this, in some ways, the feminist movement has helped women to be treated more fairly and equally. And that was needed. You know, I agree with that. There were some abuses there and things of that nature. But in other ways, it has caused women to abandon their God-given roles and to become focused not on what God wants them to be, but on what they want to be, what their desires and their goals are. Now, the feminist movement has had an effect on just about every aspect of life here in America. As I said, the issue before us this evening is where we ought to be as Christians in the matter. And so let's look at this subject. And the first thing I want to do is define feminism. Define feminism, this movement. Now, a very basic definition. Feminism is a philosophy that advocates equal rights for women and men. Oh, misspelled that one. Socially, politically, economically, and in other ways. Very basic definition of feminism. And one that we could all accept and, you know, not have a problem with. But then we find radical feminism. And that's a feminism that perverts basic feminism. And we're going to talk about that. Now, we said feminism is a philosophy that advocates equal rights for women and men, socially, politically, economically, and other ways. But you see, really, it's a difficult definition to try to define feminism. The feminist movement has expanded greatly from its original beginnings. Today's feminism goes much further than demanding equal treatment for men and women. Feminism today, or feminists today, fight for language equity. You say, what are you talking about? Well, we're no longer allowed to call him a chairman. He has to be a chairperson. We no longer have a postman. We have a postperson. Or mailman, mail person. And then they fight for language equity. They fight for gender equity. They want to redefine femininity and masculinity. And actually, the more radical feminists actively seek to overthrow any vestige of male dominance in society, to the point of oppressing or opposing the biblical roles of men and women. The radical feminist of today denies, you listening? That there is any difference between men and women. Saying that any perceived differences between men and women are due solely to social conditioning. The only reason we see a difference between men and women is because we've been conditioned to do that. Well, what nonsense is that? Well, let's talk about this. Let's talk about the history or the background of today's feminist movement. Where did it come from? Well, what they like to call the first feminist movement in America was really back in the early 1900s. And most of us know, up until then, women did not vote in America. Women didn't have the right to vote. But back in the early 1900s, the women's suffrage groups got together and protested and had all kinds of things going on. And the 19th Amendment was passed, and now women can vote. Aren't you glad, ladies? Now, in reality, that's a good thing that, you know, that happened. But then there was a second wave. And that was ignited by a gal named Betty Friedan. And she wrote a book you may have heard of, The Feminine Mystique, 1962. Now it was in this book that Friedan identified the despair and the frustration of women in America who felt trapped and unfulfilled. She coined the phrase, the housewife blahs. This gal looked at unhappy, unfulfilled women and diagnosed the problem. And the whole crux of her argument was the problem is patriarchy or male-dominated society. In her book, she develops this thought that the reason for women's frustration and despair is that men are in charge. From there, the movement to liberate women from the bonds of the home, the homemaking, the child-rearing of women blossomed. Women demanded equality in the home, in the workplace, in government, and in every other area of life. Some of us can, I can remember the 70s when this thing was really, really, really coming on hard. And in the 70s, we had two things going on in the employment area. We had the equal rights advocates who were saying that, you know, we had to give blacks and Hispanics preferential treatment. And then we had the feminist movement who said we got to give women preferential treatment. And so, during the 70s, oftentimes, and I'm just being honest with you, if you were a white male in America, you weren't going too far. Because, you know, they were putting all these things ahead of you and trying to equalize everything. But the next step in feminism came in the 90s. And this is where women were now told that they were not equal to men, but they were now better than men. This is where women got the idea, and this concept came through from the feminist side, that women do not need men. Well, we can look at our society today and see where that led, where now the single mom wants to have children without a male or a daddy or any man involved in her life. She don't need a man. It also gave rise to lesbianism. And it also gave rise to this, and watch this. Now, even more than before, women began to dress like men and look like men. Suddenly now comes on the scene the woman wearing the business suit. Hello. Never saw that before. But see, now she's trying to put herself above men. And so she wants to dress like them, haircuts like men. You know, I've seen women, you know, you look at them, you don't even know they're a woman. Because of their dress and their haircut, and that's exactly what they want. And then because they begin to look like men, they begin to act like men. I'm appalled at the language that our younger generation uses. And I'm appalled because, number one, when I was growing up, girls didn't talk that way. At least not around us. I don't know what they did when they talked about girls, you know. They didn't use that kind of language around guys. And growing up, that kind of language wasn't used publicly. But now it's very common. Women want to talk like men, look like men. And I know firsthand of how, in this feminist movement, women began wanting to do the work of men. You see what I mean, the work of men? Well, where once women weren't assigned to certain duties because it took too much muscle and strain and things, and they assigned those duties to men. Now, women were wanting to do those jobs. I worked at that can company during that period, and early 70s, the women in our plant were packers and those kind of jobs. Mid-70s, when some of this started to hit on through till I left there, the women started protesting and saying, well, I can do any job a man can do. And so several jobs that were before that relegated to just men because of the difficulty of them, women now had to be put on because of the laws. You couldn't discriminate. And I remember one job in particular involved lifting up pallets, big heavy pallets, and putting them into an elevator and things to catch stuff and all. And they assigned one gal to this duty one day, and she said, I can't pick those up. And they said, you don't have a choice. Y'all want to be equal, you're equal. You got to do a job any man can do. And so this is where all this led. And nowadays, we actually see women in competition with men. That's where they are. They're competing. Not wanting to be equal, wanting to be better. Well, that's the background. That's how we got where we are. And I'm going to say this, I'm not a chauvinist, but gals, from where I'm coming from, I think the feminist movement is one of the worst things could ever happen to you. That's my opinion. Radical feminism and the Bible. What's this got to do with the Bible? Well, it has a lot to do with the Bible. See, radical feminism is directly opposed to the Bible. How so? Well, let's look at a couple of things. Number one, radical feminism now denies the facts of creation. Well, how do they do that? Well, they deny the fact that God created man and woman differently. Listen, you don't have to be a biology major to know God made man and women differently. And he did that for a reason. We saw last week how God made them male and female. That describes their physical appearance and makeup. And God made man and women different mentally and physically. Whoa, wait a minute. You down on what? No. No, but understand this. God made man more muscular for a reason. He made woman more effeminate for a reason. And by the way, the Bible says that the woman is the weaker vessel. Again, I'm not trying to be a chauvinist. I'm just trying to say from the Bible. And I think we all pretty much know that men don't think like women. Women don't think like men. My experience pretty much has been what, you know, they tell us is the experience that men are very logical, women are very emotional. And God did that for a reason. That's not a slam. That's not anything against anybody. But the feminist wants to say, no, that's not so. What is so? And when they say it's not so, they're denying that God created. Now, God created man and woman to complement each other. Not to be in competition, but to complement each other, to make each other better, to make each other complete. So it denies the facts of creation. And then this radical feminism we're talking about denies God-given roles for the man and the woman. By the way, God set down the roles for men and women. Our culture didn't do that. Our society didn't do that. The Men's Club of America didn't do that. God did it. Now, what are you talking about? Well, God gave roles. For instance, God said the man is to be the provider and protector. Where'd you get that? Out of the Bible. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 17 through 19, God says that to Adam, because of their sin now, he would earn his food by the sweat of his brow. He didn't say Eve would. He said Adam would. Because Adam was responsible for that. By the way, in 1 Timothy 5:8 and 2 Thessalonians 3:10, it tells of the man's responsibility. Amen. In Thessalonians, it says that if a man don't take care of his own, he's worse than an infidel. Amen. Or in Timothy. And in Thessalonians, it says if a man don't work, he shouldn't eat. See, that's all on the man. It's a man's responsibility. And God said that. But the woman didn't get off free either. God gave her a role. He said she'll be the child bearer. Genesis 3:16. He said because of the fall, now she would have difficulty in labor, but she would be the one who bears the child. By the way, fellas, we ought to thank the Lord for that. You ever watch your wife go through childbirth? Thank the Lord for that. But see, that's what God said the woman's role was to be. That's what God said the man's. By the way, we don't like this, gals don't, but God said the wife is to be the keeper of the home. That's in the Bible. Titus. The Bible said the wife is to train the younger women to be good wives. That's the role of the wife. So, the radical feminist is denying God's roles are set up in the Bible. And then radical feminism denies the God-given authority structure for the church and the family. Huh? See, God gave us an authority structure. You know, God has design about everything, doesn't he? We look at nature and we marvel at the design of God and how it all works together and how God just made it all. And then we come to our part and we say, no, we don't want to do it God's way. It won't work God's way. Well, it does work God's way. And we're in trouble because we've rebelled against God's way. Now, what's the authority structure? Church and family. Well, in Genesis 3:16, we learn that Adam is to be the head over Eve. And that's been God's plan ever since, that the man would be the head of the woman, and she's to submit to her husband. Now, let me just emphasize there, a woman is responsible to submit to her own husband, not men in general. Hello. See, I've met some men in the church house who think that all the women in the church house ought to submit to them. That's not in the Bible. No. But your wife is to submit to you if you're her husband. That's in the Bible. Now, men are to be the head of the home. You know, sometimes men get all puffed up with this macho, I'm the head of the home. Rah, rah, rah. Don't ever forget, along with that head of the home comes a great responsibility. If you're the one who's in charge, now you're the one who's responsible before God. You know, I've heard ladies testify and say, you know, being able to submit to my husband, one of the greatest things ever happened to me. And, you know, some other women look at it, you know, you're from Mars or something. But they go on to explain, hey, my responsibility is to submit to him. His responsibility is to submit to God. And if he's wrong, then he answers for it. I don't. Amen. Then men are to be leaders in the church. Boy, that's a rough one today, isn't it? How often do we hear women pastors? That's not biblical. And boy, you know, we fundamentalists, we take a lot of heat because we don't believe in women pastors. But see, that's not to demean women. We're just saying this is what God ordained and orchestrated. I didn't set it up. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Go over there for a minute. Anytime somebody questions this position, this is one of the first places I go. 1 Timothy 3, God gives the requirements for a pastor and for a deacon. And one of the requirements is, verse 2, for a pastor, a bishop, must be blameless, the husband of one wife. Is there any woman in the world that can fulfill that? Huh? Shake your head like this. No. Woman can't be the husband of one wife. Go down there with deacons. Verse 7. No. Let me find it here. 12. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife. Is there any woman that can be the husband of one wife? No. Then no woman can be a deacon. Brother Harry and I went on a visit a few months ago. A gal visited our church, and we went to visit her. She was an older gal, and we sat down with her, and she said, you know, I've noticed something about you fundamental Baptists. You don't find many women in positions of authority. I said, really? Yeah? She said, in my church where I came from, I was a deaconess. said, well, we don't believe in that. And of course, it went downhill from there. But listen, there's a lot of churches have women as deacons, not even deaconesses, deacons. Listen, you can be a godly woman. I love you to death. I thank God for you. But you can't be a deacon any more than a man who's divorced and remarried can be a deacon. And it's not because you're not capable or there's something. No, you've been disqualified by the Word of God. Men are to be the leaders. That's God's plan. And then this radical feminist movement goes against the Bible in that it undermines the God-given family structure. Husbands to be the head, the wives to submit to him, children to submit to him. That's what God said. Now, women are responsible to be the homemakers. Again, that's in the Bible. But what we find in this radical feminist movement is women who line themselves up with that really want to reverse the roles. They don't want to be the homemakers. They want the husband to be the homemaker. They go out and be the breadwinner. I'm thinking of a situation now where there was a husband and wife. They were involved in a very lucrative business with family. And I had occasion to be dealing with a family. He had an older brother. And I said, well, where's your brother? He said, oh, he sort of retired. I said, retired? The guy was only 30-some years old. He said, well, what happened was his wife was able to make more money than he is, so he's staying home taking care of the kids. She's going to work. Now, say what you want. I don't agree with that. Stay-at-home dads. Because I don't find it in the Bible. Now, let me say this. I don't believe it's unbiblical for men to do housework. Ladies, help me! Listen, I've washed a lot of dishes. I've vacuumed a lot of floors. I've changed diapers. I've hung clothes. I've done laundry. You name it, I've done it. I don't think there's anything unbiblical about that. I help my wife. I think every husband should. Nothing wrong with that. And I don't believe there's anything unbiblical. Now, look, some preachers will disagree. I don't think it's unbiblical for a woman to work outside the home. As long as they maintain their God-given roles. The man can do housework, as long as he maintains he's the leader in the home. The woman can work outside the home as long as she understands her responsibilities in the home. Well, let's look at something else. Biblical teaching on the purpose and value of women. Listen, in God's eyes, men and women are of equal value. God says he created them in his image. They're both equal in God's eyes. Go over to Galatians for a minute. Galatians 3. Look at verse 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are one in Christ Jesus. Paul's saying in God's eyes, we're all equal in God's eyes as far as people. He doesn't say the men are better than the women or the women are better than... No! We're all his children. We belong to him. Now, there's a spiritual commonality between men and women. We have a common salvation. We're all saved the same way. We all have the same Holy Spirit. We all have received at least one spiritual gift according to Romans. And we all have an important role in the ministry of the church, the body of Christ, according to 1 Corinthians 12. Now, over in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul's drawn-out discussion shows God wanted to clearly communicate to all believers, men and women alike, that they're a vital part in the church. Men and women are both necessary to the work of the church. And then there's a commonality in it. We're all responsible before God. Men are going to give an account of themselves. Women are going to give an account of themselves. We're all going to give an account of ourselves before God. And then I put this little note in. God values men and women equally, and so must we. Different roles, equal value. Women should never feel inferior or worthless in the church. Christ has given them work to do, very vital work. Biblical teaching, the purpose and value of women. Where would we be without them? How can we say women aren't important or less important? And let me just throw this at you. You know, we're in this battle with ISIS. You know, many of those Muslim countries or Arabic countries put no value on women at all. They treat them as a possession. Thank God in America we value our women. And then the Bible's position on feminism. Women are to be valued and appreciated, recognized for how needed they are, recognize how vital and special they are. And then, as we said, women have to submit to their God-given roles. This radical feminism wants to redefine a woman's role in life. God already gave them a role. And by the way, I think being a mother and a homemaker is one of the highest callings a person can have, in my opinion. See, this feminism thing told women you're not important because all you do is stay home. The woman who is homemaker raising her children is influencing the next generation. How important is that? By the way, I think that's one of the reasons we have the issues we have today. Amen. See, when I grew up, there was no such thing as a latchkey kid. We never heard of daycare. Amen. Daycare, night care, you get care all the time, right? Huh? And you see, we had a generation that was shaped, taught. Now it's sad, and I'm not trying to be critical, but we find people starting a family, you know, and as soon as the kid gets old, a couple of weeks older, giving them to daycare, and both parents are going off to work. They don't see that kid again till supper time. And again, I'm not trying to demean anybody, or, you know, I'm just saying that's where we've come to. But I think one of the highest callings that can be is to be a mom and a mother and a wife. And to be a keeper of the home. Because that's a God-given calling. See, this radical feminist movement, what they've done is they've convinced women that there's no value in being a homemaker and a mother. And they need to find their value and their purpose by the world's standards. Wasn't it last election where our Romney's wife, somebody said something about her only being a housewife and mother? What a firestorm that started, and rightfully so. Only being a housewife and mother. Wow. Listen, radical feminism has destroyed the family unit in America. Amen. And is responsible for ungodly influence on women today. And sadly, our society has accepted and propagated the radical feminist agenda, and we're reaping the results in our society today. Today we've got to be so politically correct. Why can't we just be biblically correct? You know, one of the problems with our government, with our leaders, is they haven't figured out that God's a whole lot smarter than we are. They think they got all the answers. They think they can figure everything out. If they just go back to the Bible, they'd learn a lot. And things would be a whole lot better. All right, I want to open it up for questions or comments. Feminism in our world today, we're dealing with it. Yes? No, people can't make it on one income. Well, there. I'm sorry? Well, lots of people are getting a lot of government help too. That's why we got so many handouts. Do you understand how much of the daycare money is paid by our government? Now, I'll agree that some of the problem is that people want more than they really need, and so they go to work. But I look at the prices today, I look at people with a family today, and I look at wages today, and I say, how is a man supposed to support a family of four or five on $12.50 or $14 an hour? Yes? Say again? Yeah. Yeah, by the way, I think government, I think there's a lot of conspiracy involved here. Government is firing this thing, but I believe behind it all, you know where I'm going? Satan. Behind it all. See, he's the one stirring women to want to be what God don't want them to be. He's the one starting people to want what God don't want them to have. He's the one that's stirring this out. Listen, we're facing it right now in this election. One man's going out there and saying, I'm going to give you everything. Everything's free. Listen, it don't take a brain surgeon. Oh, I'm sorry, Dr. Carson. It don't take a super intelligent person to figure out if you're giving everything away free, somebody got to pay for it. Where's this money coming from? Well, they want us all to be equal. Yeah, equally poor. But see, I believe Satan is behind all this to destroy our family unit, to destroy the leadership of our country, to destroy America because she's been a biblical nation. And see, we've played into it in so many areas, and this is just one. This is just another area. Yes, sir. Oh, yeah, that's where they're going. And that's one problem we have in our electoral process. They've given a lot of things to a lot of people who feel beholden to them, and they don't want to lose what they're getting for free. So they want to keep the same people in office so they can get things for free. Listen, the Bible has a work ethic. Amen. We just talked about the verses where God says if a man don't work, he shouldn't eat. Amen. That's God's law. That's God's rules. When somebody comes along and says you don't have to work, they're going against God. And they're taking away the incentive for work by giving people free stuff. Listen, the natural man, the flesh man, isn't a fool. If somebody says, you don't have to work and I'm going to feed you, he's going to say, great. Right? But see, then that takes away incentive to work. Do you know when the pilgrims came over here, their first year here, they tried that philosophy? How many of you knew that? Read your history. The first year, what they did was they created a common area where you went and got your seed and everything and planted, and then you brought all your stuff into this common area, and everybody just shared everything. It didn't work. Why? Because some people didn't bother planting and working because they were going to be able to go get anyway. Well, they figured out after that first year, this don't work. So the next year, they started allocating to everybody, this is yours, you plant it, what you grow, you eat. That worked. But see, there's a master behind all this. And we need to understand where it's coming from. And we need to get back to this. This is what God says. I'm not a chauvinist. I'm not against women. But I believe, you know, women are getting out of the roles God's given them. And men are getting out of the roles God's given them. Listen. There's a lot of churches today that are run by women. You know why? Because the men are too sorry to do it. See, a lot of men, they say, well, hey, she wants to run things, let her run it. I've met some of them. Hey, she wants to do it, now let her run it. Whatever. I'm going golfing, I'm going on, I'm going fishing, let her run. Shame on you. Yes, ma'am. Another part of it. Single parent homes. And listen, I'm not trying to be critical of that. I'm just trying to make you understand where all this comes from. And how it just helps to undermine everything. Yes? Say again? Oh, yeah. Well, they have to. And the next step is they're going to have to register when they're 18 years old for selective service, just like every male. Why? Because women have pushed the issue. The radical feminist has pushed the issue. We can do everything a man does. We want to be equal to you. Okay, you want to be equal? They're going to make you equal. But God never intended that. The man is supposed to be the protector and the provider. And this isn't a slam, but on the weaker vessel. That doesn't mean women are less than men. They need a protector. That's our job. Shame on a country has to send their women to war to fight for it. When they got men that could do it. Anybody else? Question or comment? What a hot button issue, huh? Yes?
I think the women got a lot of that idea too from World War II when we were involved in that. Because the men had to go on the battlefield to fight. And women, and I remember that a lot of women went into the steel companies in here to fulfill the jobs that were makers from the men who had to go to the military. So a lot of women then already were in the job market.
Well, that helped set the course. Listen, I'm going to make some of you mad. I made some of you mad anyway. Ladies, this is where women wearing slacks really came from. Oh, you're being that way again. No, I'm being frank with you. This is interesting. I was in a funeral home in Nazareth a couple years ago. They had pictures of factories in Nazareth, back in the early 1900s. And they had the workers of those factories standing out front. All these women, I guess they were textile factories, sewing factories. But here's all these women standing out there. Not one of them had a pair of breeches on. So where did this come from? World War II, when they had to bring the women into the factories, the steel plants and all that, and they now had to dress differently. Now they got used to it and they liked it. So they said, this is cool, let's keep it up. Say, I don't know where we ever got the idea. Well, women have always worn slacks. No, they haven't. No. No, they haven't. It's just in our day and age. And while I'm there, let me just throw this at you. Whoever came up with these stretch pants ought to be shot. Yeah. I'm not going to go any more there. My opinion. Any other comments? Yes, ma'am. Any professional woman, you know, that worked in an office or anything of that nature, back until probably the early 70s, wore a dress. They had dress codes. You didn't dare come in pants. And then, like you say, the pantsuits came in, and then, you know, well, we got to accept this, we got to accept that. And now, who knows what they're going to wear? Good night. But see, if you have a dress code, then you're narrow, you're chauvinist, you're this, you're that, you're the next thing, you know. Yes?
I remember looking at the college football industry book. It was a hardcover book. And it had pictures of the things that went on over the ages. It started back in the early 1900s, but it was like 1990, I think. And it was really the pictures of the football teams and the cheerleaders and all that stuff. And the cheerleaders.
Yeah. If you look at the early swimmers back in the 1920s and all, they were covered. Yes. Yeah, well, when I went to high school, girls weren't allowed to wear slacks. And boys had to wear a shirt with a collar, and dress slacks had to be tucked in. I used to get in so much trouble because my shirt tail was out. But that was the dress code. And you weren't allowed to wear sneakers to school. You could wear them in PE class, but the rest of the time you had to have a regular shirt. Had a dress code. Look where we've gone. Well, anybody else? Comment? Question? Radical feminism. It's getting worse and worse. They keep pushing and pushing. And it's all against God's plan. Just go by the book. Father, thank you for what you show us in your word. Help us that we can evaluate what's going on in our society, what's going on in our world, according to your word. And help us to keep in mind that we're to follow you and not the culture and not the world. Culture changes. The world's ideas change, but your word never changes. Help us to stand firm upon it. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.